Good morning. Let's continue our discussion of religious worship. We're looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21, paragraph 6, which speaks about prayer and other aspects of worship. So, chapter 21, section 6. Neither prayer nor any other part of religious worship is now, under the gospel, either tied unto or made more acceptable by any place in which it's performed, or toward which it is directed. But God is to be worshipped everywhere, in spirit and truth, as in private families, daily, and in secret, each one by himself. So more solemnly in the public assemblies, which are not carelessly or willfully to be neglected or forsaken, when God, by his word or providence, calleth thereunto. At the dedication of the temple, King Solomon prayed that the Lord would be merciful to his people, especially if they were looking and praying towards Jerusalem, towards the temple. Presumably, looking to the temple was a symbol of their faith, which was expressed in their worship. In many parts of the Christian world today, this tradition of focusing in one direction or worshiping in a particular direction in prayer or in corporate worship still continues. And this paragraph is saying that this is not necessary and it's not even helpful in the New Testament era. Neither prayer or any other part of religious worship under the gospel is tied unto or made more acceptable by the place in which it's performed or towards which it's directed. Now we can say that with confidence because in John chapter 4 we see our Lord discussing places of prayer and directions of prayer with a Samaritan woman. And there he explains that neither Jerusalem nor her nation's favorite holy place were going to be considered special places for worshipers after our Lord died. On the contrary, all people are to pray, for sure. We are to worship God everywhere, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. And God requires us to worship Him in the power of the Spirit and in truth. But the location of that worship and our direction in worship is no longer relevant. But it is a requirement that we worship God. And He threatens judgment in the Old Testament and in the New on all who do not call on His name. We're also to give worship to God in all different contexts and relationships. We're to praise Him in families. There we're to pray for each other. Their parents are to instruct their children formally and informally, as we see in Deuteronomy. And there we read God's Word together. And we see a godly leadership of households in the Old Testament and the New. We see it in the Old with the business tycoon Job. We see it in the New with the soldier and captain Cornelius. We find examples throughout the Bible. Well, setting such an example is important for every head of household and preparing to set an example for every man. And of course, this example is all the more important for our leaders. And King David evidences what impact the devotion of public figures can have on all those around him. In families with one or more Christian parents, this is an important task for the mother or for the father, whoever is the Christian head of house, to try and instruct and lead their family in worship. Our prayers and our petitions are, of course, to be part of our daily lives. The prayer that our Lord taught His disciples to pray, especially that phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread," suggests very strongly that we're praying each day for our needs. And of course, that only suggests what we already know from our experience. We need our God every hour. Certainly, we need Him every day. Well, God is worshipped in families. He's also to be worshipped by individual Christians. Jesus assumes this when He discusses prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He assumes that we pray on our own. He says, "When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Jesus is assuming that we are coming to the Lord in prayer. And of course, if we're going to take seriously Paul's command to be praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplications, then there's one more reason why we need to be worshipping God, not only in families, but also to be breathing up our prayers to God as part of our daily lives before Him. And of course, if we are not to omit worship in families and in private, how much more we ought to praise God in the assembly of His people. These meetings are the most solemn and important context for worship, and we should neither carelessly nor willfully neglect or forsake public worship. God's Word calls us to regular communal worship, and sometimes events call us to that as well, events that God brings our ways. And so when the church is called to worship, we should do all in our power to be at those events and to worship God with our heart and soul and mind. Well, we see that public prayer and public worship is an essential part of the life of God's people. We find that from ancient times. And Isaiah reminds us that when we gather corporately, we remember the breadth of God's plan of salvation. It's there that we remember that God's house is a prayer, he says. It's a house of prayer for all peoples. Of course, it's not only a house of prayer when we gather together. It's also the case that God's Word is read and expounded as it was in the synagogues. In the early church, we see people faithfully attending such meetings. We even see them begging on one account for more teaching in Acts chapter 13. We see Christians devoted themselves, in the Scripture's words, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so we do that too. It's an important part of the Christian life. And it's because of the centrality of corporate worship that the writer to the Hebrews urges his readers not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Much better, he says, to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let us be thankful that we have these opportunities to encourage one another, to encourage one another to do good, to encourage one another when sometimes we stray, to encourage one another when we're doing well by God's grace. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for worship, this gift that you give to us. We pray that you will help us today as we come to you to worship in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Spirit. We ask that you would help us for our sakes so that we would be encouraged. And we ask this for your sakes, because in our worship we long to give you glory. Help us to do this better, we pray, as we ask this and all things in Jesus' name. Amen.